Welcome to the Practical Backpacking Podcast.
This is episode 45, and I'm Bernie Wilt. This episode is all about hammocks. I've asked Brandon Waddy of Warbonnet Outdoors to help answer some basic introductory questions regarding camping hammocks and hammock accessories. Brandon and I discuss the types, benefits, and features of hammocks, and offer some practical tips for the use of hammocks in the backcountry. Whether you're a curious beginner needing a little more information, or a seasoned hammocker who just loves talk about hammocks, this episode is likely to capture your interest. Here's my conversation with Brandon Waddy.
Hello.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Bernie, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you doing today?
I'm all right.
We've had some really long, involved conversations over these past few years, and I'm just really excited about finally getting together and doing this for everyone.
Yeah, me too. Definitely been looking forward to it, actually.
So what's the weather like over there now in Colorado?
Well, it's kind of going through a dry spell. It looks like the East Coast is getting all the snow that we're supposed to be getting. It's been pretty dry here, actually, this winter, especially down in the Front Range.
Yeah, I checked the weather, I guess, the day before yesterday, and it was supposed to be like, I don't know, several days of just relatively dry and sunny weather. And of course, the next day it all turned into it's just going to all be wet and cold. So it's, I guess you, yeah. This time of year you just kind of look out and see what you get, right?
The El Nino, I guess.
Could be, I don't know. So how'd you get into hammocking?
Honestly, it just seemed like a good idea. I think I just kind of thought to myself one day, that's got to be better than sleeping on the ground, but I think I'll give it a shot. And, after a couple of nights, I was sold. I do remember one time that kind of solidified it for me. I was in a campground with a bunch of other people, and it was kind of an established campground. All the tent sites were compacted, ended up being in the same campground for 4 or 5 days, and I think it rained pretty much that whole time, and everybody's tent was soaked with water. People were bailing it out. Everything leaked pretty much. I think everybody had water problems. And here I am, high and dry in my hammock, and I knew that I was doing it the right way at that point.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting when you can look around and see the results of the gear choices that you make, whatever they are.
Yeah. Sometimes I kind of think back on that and chuckle at all those guys. You know, one guy actually even mentioned to me before the beginning of the trip, he said, it's really great to know that you've got such a bomb-proof shelter that it's not going to leak. And then sure enough, everybody had problems but me. So,
yeah, it's amazing when the rain starts coming down pretty good how soon you find out where those vulnerabilities are with gear. It doesn't really take long.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's jump right in, and I'd like to ask you, why choose a hammock over another shelter option? You just touched on a little bit of that, but what are some of the benefits?
Yeah, you know, there's actually several benefits. You don't have to find a level spot. I mean, if somebody were to ask me to describe the terrain or the area that I go hiking or the area that a lot of people go hiking in, the last two adjectives that I would use would be flat and level. You know, you're looking at a lot of topography, hills and valleys and ridges and rocky ground. Flat spots are few and far between, and a lot of times the established campsites are the only really good tent sites available. Otherwise, I mean, sure, you can find a tent site a lot of times, but it takes a lot of searching. You know, I mean, for instance, like, if I'm hiking down the trail and, say there's an established tent site 2 miles ahead and it looks like it's going to start pouring down rain, well, I don't have to hike through the rain to get to that tent site. I can just hang a left or a right off the trail and, I've got my pick of thousands of trees to hang from right there. I can hang on a 45-degree slope. I can hang on rocky ground, over rocky ground. The ground can be wet. There can be vegetation with the tent. You got to find a flat spot. It's got to be flat. It's got to be level. And, you know, there can't be any bushes or anything growing there either. So with a hammock, none of that's really an issue. You know, you can pretty much hang anywhere as long as you're in the forest.
Yeah, and you don't really have to disturb the ground as much.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely not. I mean, there's been lots of times where, you know, I've hung right over small bushes and didn't disturb them at all. So definitely a leave no trace option, for sure.
You know, some people are concerned about what it might do to the trees and stuff. I've set them up in my yard on a tree that I care very much about. I planted it from a very young one, and it's very large now, and the bark's kind of fragile. But, you know, using the right straps and everything, and, you know, I'm a fairly large guy. I get in there and put a lot of weight on it. and I can't tell anything on my tree.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the consensus is that, you know, and a lot of people feel this way, that we kind of push towards using webbing on the actual tree itself, just because it spreads out the force, as opposed to, you know, like a small diameter line or something to kind of dig in. But webbing spreads out that force, and it doesn't seem to be a problem.
Yeah, some of the things that I found interesting about using a hammock too, some of the benefits, is that you're kind of up above some of the critters, you know, on the ground crawler type of things that could just get into your things. Certainly there's some more acrobatic type might climb up and get at you, but for the most part you get away from a lot of those pesky things that might, you know, be crawling
True.
Around on the ground that don't climb much. You know, I also like the idea that I can sit up in it, you know, and put my shoes on in the morning, instead of like coming off of the flat ground in the morning and waking up like that, you know, maybe with a stiff back or whatever. I can just sit up into a sort of a chair position, actually, and just put my feet out and put my shoes on. I don't have to lift all that weight right off the ground first thing in the morning.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and you make a good point. You know, I guess I don't even think about some of those things anymore. I'm so used to hanging in a hammock. But yeah, you know, like you said, you know, you don't have to worry about the creepy crawlies getting in quite as much in a hammock, just because you're kind of hanging there in midair. And also, too, like, you know, pretty much any hammocker will tell you, like, you know, those are, you know, benefits, definitely. But the main reason, first and foremost, that anybody switches to a hammock is comfort.
Certainly.
You know, people that switch to hammock find it infinitely more comfortable than sleeping on even a thick air mattress on the ground. So that's definitely the foremost reason that most people make a switch.
I felt that comfort is a primary thing for me too as well. My back in recent years isn't what it used to be, and you know, every once in a while it's bothering me, but I found, for example, in a conventional, you know, traditional bed, I haven't been able to sleep on my back at all comfortably. And so the nights that I've spent in hammocks, I can sleep on my back. And when I get up in the morning, you know, I don't have all that additional pain and discomfort that I get in some of the beds that I've slept in. So I like that a lot. So
right.
I do find it comfortable. I won't go so far as to say, and I'm sure you probably won't either, that it's the correct ergonomic thing that our backs are looking for, you know, the save all, but it definitely is a lot more comfortable. I'll have to say that for sure.
Yeah, definitely. There's, you know, I've had that mentioned to me several times. People with back problems say that their back actually feels better in the morning getting out of a hammock than it does normally when they get out of bed at home. And I think a lot of that, too, is just, you know, a lot of times a bed doesn't provide the right support for your back. And, you know, hammock fabric is kind of flexible. So, you know, in a way, it kind of does contour to the curves of your back a little bit. So, I don't know. I'm not a chiropractor, but it seems to work for a lot of people.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Yeah, if it works, you know, I mean, certainly not hurting me, I'll tell you that. Would you share a little bit about the various types of popular hammocks? I mean, there's several types out there that people are probably going to run into when they're considering a hammock. Could you go over some of those?
Yeah, definitely. And there's really a lot of types of hammocks. I mean, when most people think of a hammock, they're going to think of, you know, the hammock that's in their neighbor's backyard, mesh, woven, got a lot of holes in it. You know, and that's certainly one type of hammock. The most common types of those are the ones that have the big spreader bars at the ends. But, you know, as far as camping hammocks go, you're not going to see really hammocks like that on the trail very often. Your camping hammocks tend to be made from lightweight fabrics. You know, there's a few main types, I guess you could say. There's, you know, what I like to call a mosquito hammock, and that's basically a hammock that has an integrated bug net attached to it. And then you got your no-net hammocks, which is basically just a fabric hammock itself. Then there's other types of hammocks. You know, there's a ridge hammock, which is a kind of a newer hammock that's come around in the past few years. And that's basically the main difference, is that it's suspended along its sides rather than along its ends. But mainly for camping purposes, the main two differences that people talk about are you got your hammocks with integrated bug nets, and then your hammocks without the bug net, which is, you know, most people call this like a no-net hammock.
Yeah, some of those, I guess you'd see listed as travel hammocks, you know, or referred to
travel
as
hammocks, you know. Yeah, a lot of people actually refer to them as travel hammocks as well, so either one.
And for people familiar with tents, the netted one would essentially be what you would call like a fully enclosed shelter.
Right, and you know, you can get a separate net to go with, with a no-net or a travel hammock and, you know, basically, you know, turn it into a mosquito hammock, I guess. You know, when I say mosquito hammock, I think of bug netting that's attached to the hammock, you know, integrated.
Let me ask you a few questions about some of the components of a hammock. We've referred to these different types of hammock models. There's a main body, of course, which you lay in, and there's different ways to approach getting a hammock body that you're comfortable with. Can you go over some of that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just as far as the hammock body goes, you know, there are some hammocks that are going to be kind of narrow and short, you know, that maybe you're meant to lay straight on or in line with, and then there's other hammocks that are, the fabric is wider and longer, and those type of hammocks are, you're meant to lay more on like a hard diagonal, and those are probably the most common. When you lay on a hard diagonal like that, you can actually get pretty flat. And then, of course, there's single layer bodies versus double layer bodies. Those are kind of two differences. Basically, a double layer allows you to put a pad, some bottom insulation, either an inflatable air mattress or pillow cell foam padding. You can put it between the layers, which kind of helps control it a little bit, helps keep it still.
Okay, and it also, a double layer could potentially help with mosquitoes more than some single layers.
Yeah, potentially. They're going to have more trouble biting through two layers of fabric than one. Thread count has a lot to do with that, too. There's a few different
how tight the weave is.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. The tighter the weave, the harder it is going to be for a bug to bite through. But, you know, most people end up using bottom insulation below 70 degrees, basically. You know, anytime it's down in the 60s, even in the low 70s, they're, you know, either going to have their sleeping bag under them, you know, or some kind of air mattress or closed cell foam or an underquilt or something like that. And in that case, the bug is not going to be able to bite through the bottom just because there's additional thickness there.
Certainly. Most of these are made out of breathable nylon.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there are a couple fabrics out there that are made out of a waterproof coated fabric, but to me that really doesn't make sense. I mean, especially when you're talking about a mosquito hammock. You know, when I think of mosquito season or an area that's infested with mosquitoes, it's hot, it's humid, it's muggy. You're going to want as much breathability as you can get in that situation, so you're going to want a breathable fabric. Otherwise, you're going to be sweating like a pig in the thing, you know. So it's nice to have a breathable material.
Yeah, and there's other ways to protect that fabric that we can get into later, but yeah, I agree. So on netting, which we've already kind of touched on a little bit with the mosquito thing, that's sewn on, or there is accessory netting that people can drape over and configure with their travel or standard type hammocks, but this all generally tends to be, at least in the cottage industry that's available, tends to be like a no-see-em mesh.
Yeah, correct. Most of the hammocks do seem to be made out of, most of the bug canopies, I guess, tend to be made out of no-see-em. Pretty much, you know, same material that you're going to find on a lightweight tent.
Okay, let's go over suspension. If you could just first explain what the suspension is and then the types that are generally being used. I mean, the sky's the limit on some of this stuff, but, you know, there are some familiar types that are used.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, people are doing all kinds of crazy things these days with their suspensions. But basically, you know, there's two main types. As far as I'm concerned, there's, you know, a lighter weight suspension that's basically line and tree straps. You got webbing that goes around the tree. You're going to put your webbing around the tree and put one end through the other. And then you have an anchor point hanging there on the tree. And then you've got rope or line attached to your hammock, and you'll tie a knot to attach it to the hanging strap. All the adjustments are made with a knot. You know, it's going to tend to be a little bit lighter. And then, you know, there's a lot of people that like, you know, a more adjustable suspension just for convenience, you know, and those tend to be a little heavier, you know. That might consist of all webbing instead of rope and webbing. You know, maybe some adjustable buckles to make the adjustments so they don't have to tie any knots. And also whoopee slings have kind of a cross between the two. It uses quite a bit of line in order to lighten things up, but it also has kind of some of the adjustability of like a cinch buckle or ring buckle type of suspension. But generally, the lighter it is, the more you're going to have to rely on, you know, tying knots and, you know, taking a few extra steps, you know, to save those ounces. So it kind of depends on what's important to you. But the heavier adjustable webbing suspensions are usually, you know, 4 to 5 ounces heavier. And to a lot of people, that convenience is enough to justify the weight, I guess.
Speaking of weight, the weight for a fully enclosed hammock setup could be quite comparable and even better in some cases than some solo ground setups in terms of how much it weighs.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, if you're talking about sleeping on the ground underneath a minimal tarp, then yeah, it's going to be lighter. But if you're coming from a lightweight one-man tent, you got an air mattress and a sleeping bag, I mean, you can certainly, you know, have a comparable weight or even lighter by going with a hammock setup.
Yeah, and so people get a good idea of what we're talking about here. I think sometimes people, when we start talking about these lightweight materials and this cord and fabric and stuff, some people might think, is this going to hold me up? These things are all quite strong. Could you speak to that a little bit?
I personally have four different models, so basically you'd choose a model based on your weight. So a heavier person is going to go with a heavier weight fabric, which makes sense. A lot of the lines we're using these days are Dyneema or Spectra, which they actually have an incredible amount of strength in a small diameter package. I think 1/8-inch single braid Dyneema is rated to like over 2,000 pounds. So you'd actually be surprised at how strong 1.1-ounce ripstop nylon is actually.
Well, something else of big concern for some hammock campers and campers in general is staying warm and dry out there. So let's talk about some of the items that help to keep hammock campers warm and dry.
Okay. Basically, you don't want to think of your hammock necessarily as a shelter. Your hammock, I guess the hammock is a shelter from the bugs. But basically, you're going to get your wind and water protection from a tarp, and you're going to get your insulation from a sleeping bag and a sleeping pad, or, you know, an underquilt can replace a sleeping pad. But generally, you know, you can stay pretty darn dry in a hammock. I mean, you got to remember you're up off the ground, so, you know, you're not going to get wet from the ground. And a lot of people like carrying a good-sized tarp. You know, some people like carrying a more minimal tarp, but you can definitely, you can definitely stay dry and warm in a hammock for sure.
One of the things that I like about hammock camping so much is that I consider it to be tarping, because you're essentially taking a tarp out there and throwing up a suspended bivy, if you will, underneath of it. I know a hammock's much more than that, much more versatile and comfortable, but by and large, you're in a nylon sack with netting underneath of a tarp. And I really like that idea of the versatility of using a tarp. And you mentioned something about, you know, if you have a large enough tarp, keeping dry. I've seen that there's, well, because of weight, I think some people tend to put a lot more emphasis on a smaller tarp. But where I'm willing to spend ounces or more weight is when I know those ounces or weight are giving me a return in comfort, safety, and fun within reason. And, for example, you know, if I took an umbrella and I cut it with all these fancy cuts and made a diamond shape or whatever and went out there in the rain with it, people would look at me like, wow, you just cut away your protection. And I feel that sometimes we take the idea of lightweight and ultralight camping, you know, may go too far. And for some people, I'm not saying everyone, and I'm not getting into the argument of whether it's safe or not to have a small tarp, because, you know, it certainly is, depending on, you know, where the person is and what they're doing with it. But you want to make sure that you're keeping the elements off of your body and off of your hammock. I mean, that's the point, correct?
Yeah, you know, and I think you bring up a good point. You know, I mean, one of the nice things about tarping, I guess, too, you know, and you're right, it is kind of a form of tarping, but you know, you can have multiple size tarps for different conditions. You know, and it also depends. I mean, are you talking in the summertime in a dry area where, you know, you're almost guaranteed to be in a situation where it's not going to rain? You might take a smaller tarp, you know, but, you know, if it's wintertime, you're expecting a lot of wind, maybe some rain or snow, then you're going to want a larger tarp, you know. I personally like a larger tarp just because it gives me a larger dry footprint, you know. If it's pouring down rain and I'm stranded out there, you know, hanging out at my campsite, I don't have to stay in the hammock. You know, if you got a big tarp, you've got dry area outside the hammock that you can, you know, do camp chores in, hang out under, you know, even build a small fire. Yeah, you're basically outside. You're not sitting in a tent, you know. You're just protected from the rain.
Yeah, it gives you a nice front
and it's
porch.
Also, right, exactly. And it's also, I mean, if it's going to be windy too, you're going to want, you'll usually want a tarp that's going to be wide enough to come down low enough. I mean, keep in mind, you pitch it in an A-frame type fashion. So if it's going to be windy and cold especially, you're going to want a tarp that's wide enough to give you full side protection, you know, from wind and wind-blown moisture.
Yeah. One of the things that I find different about using a tarp for hammocking as opposed to using a tarp for ground is by its very nature, the tarp's going to be up higher with a hammock. So this makes me feel like I should keep that really taut, you know, and anchored down really well because of that. Certainly you could pitch it lower. I mean, you can get it pretty darn low, but I think that it's important to realize that when you're up higher that you could be exposed more and need to really anchor it down. I see so many photos and so many different things of tarps that aren't pitched very tautly and maybe don't have much coverage. But like you were saying, if you're going to use a tarp in the winter, you know, in bad weather, make sure you got one that covers in the, you know, in the summer or better weather when you know that you're not expecting bad winds or rain, then you can go with something lighter and less. But one of the things that I believe about using a tarp is that if there's no wind and no rain, I don't generally need the tarp unless I pitched it under a bunch of, you know, birds' nests you know, falling debris from, you know, sap and pine needles and things like that. But I generally try to, you know, pick a very good site. Some people talk about, you know, certain designs helping to facilitate them getting a more taut pitch and to reduce some of the flapping. But I find that I can take a very large flat tarp and do that if I just pitch it properly and anchor it correctly.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about the way that the tarp is pitched, who's doing it, and you know, how much experience they have. I mean, you can have the best tarp in the world, but if you don't know how to pitch it correctly, it's not going to perform as well as it could. You know, an experienced tarper can probably get a better pitch with you know, maybe a lower quality tarp, you know, just because they know what they're doing and you know, take the time to pitch it right. And also what you're talking about, you know, with being able to pitch your tarp higher up, you know, and a lot of that depends on the weather too, you know. I mean, a lot of people will go ahead and pitch their tarp even if the weather does look nice because they don't want to have to get out of the hammock in the middle of the night in a rainstorm to pitch the thing. So they'll go ahead and pitch it. But, you know, a lot of times if it's nice fair weather, you know, you might pitch it high enough up in the air to where you can stand up straight underneath it and not have to crouch down, which is kind of nice. A lot of times you would consider pitching a tarp like that more kind of flatter so it doesn't necessarily block your view. You know, around you can see out both sides of the hammock and the tarp's not blocking your view. It's kind of just a fair weather pitch, I guess. And another nice thing about hammocks and tarps is that, you know, if you get to your campsite and it's raining, you can set your tarp up first before you have to pull anything else out of your pack. So you don't have to worry about pulling everything out and getting it rained on while you set your tent up and then get the rain fly on, and then you can throw everything. By that time, everything's already wet, you know. The hammock and the tarp, set the tarp up first, you know. And if it's raining when you're packing up in the morning, you can pack everything up except the tarp and then take the tarp down last. Kind of helps keep everything a little drier, a little more convenient.
Yeah, definitely. That's an excellent point, and that's one of the reasons why I like having a tarp. I've even, for ground camping, even taken a tarp with an inner tent just because the tarp gave me more versatility than a formed or shaped tent fly did. Let's move on and talk about top quilts. You mentioned them briefly, and I think a lot of people understand why backpackers opt for quilts as opposed to sleeping bags, because basically the idea is that compressed insulation underneath of you in like a traditional sleeping bag isn't really doing the job. It's the loft that helps hold in the warmth to keep you warm. So tell me a little bit about top quilts, explain that, and then also, what about using a sleeping bag in a hammock?
Okay, well, you know, I think probably most people probably start out using a sleeping bag, and that's fine. And I think a lot of people quickly come to realize that in a hammock, a sleeping bag, it's kind of a pain in the butt to use. You know, it's almost like a wrestling match trying to get in your sleeping bag and get the thing zipped up in a hammock. So I quickly found that it was just easier to, you know, I'd zip the sleeping bag up to about my knees, and then I would just cover up with it, you know, because I was using a pad anyways, so I didn't have to worry about having, you know, sleeping bag insulation under me. You know, like you said, it doesn't do any good anyways once it's compressed. So it's really just more convenient to just use it like kind of like covers in bed. You know, you're still using, from the knees down, it's still basically a sleeping bag. You know, it's the foot box is formed or whatever, and your legs are in there. But from your knees up, you're just basically covering up with it. And most people do that for convenience. If a new user is trying to decide, like, I don't know, if I should I buy a top quilt, should I keep my sleeping bag? You know, I mean, you can use your sleeping bag like a top quilt just to find out if that's an option that you want to pursue. And a lot of people, you know, just use their sleeping bag like a top quilt. They don't actually go out and buy a top quilt, at least not that right away. Yeah. But, you know, a top quilt can be narrower. It's going to be narrower since it doesn't need to go all the way under your body. So you're saving weight. It doesn't have a zipper. You save weight there. There's no draft tube for the zipper, you know, and it's significantly narrower. So, and then a hammock is actually, it actually works out even better because, whatever kind of bottom insulation you're using, you know, a lot of people are using underquilts these days. But even with a pad, and especially with an underquilt, that bottom insulation comes up to the side. It kind of cups your body. So not only is it bottom insulation, but it's also side insulation. So, you know, it's pretty easy for the top quilt to overlap that side insulation. I mean, my underquilts come up usually like, you know, 6 inches past my arms and shoulders. So as long as the top quilt tucks in a little bit on the sides, that's all I need.
Yeah, and so, like you said, when it comes up the side, it's like a tube, being in a tube of insulation, essentially, and you're suspended there in this bundle of warmth. So it really is quite an ingenious way of surrounding your body with warmth.
Yeah. I think also a lot of people kind of have this misconception about, you know, what a sleeping pad is for. You know, they think, well, I'm in a hammock, so I don't need padding from the ground because, you know, the hammock's nice and soft. And, you know, they try it without padding and then they freeze and they wonder why, you know, but I tell people, you know, go out into your garage and, it might be 60 degrees in your garage and take your sleeping bag and lay down on the concrete floor. You know, you might have a 20 degree down sleeping bag, but, you know, you're going to feel that cold coming through on the backside because the down is compressed. And a hammock is the same way. You know, your body weight compresses the sleeping bag insulation between you and the hammock body. So basically, you're going to feel, you know, whatever that air temperature is on the other side of the hammock. You know, it's just, it's exactly the same as if you were to lay on the ground without a sleeping pad. Feel the cold ground coming straight through the bottom of
yeah.
the bag.
And being in the air like that, you get that additional potential for convective cooling from the wind.
True, right. Well, and a lot of times, too, the outside air temperature might even be cooler than the ground temperature. So, but generally speaking, you know, you might need a little bit more bottom insulation in certain circumstances, but you know, you can actually shave a little bit away from your top quilt by going from a sleeping bag to a top quilt, or from a wider ground top quilt to a narrower hammock top quilt. So I think it you know, as far as insulation goes, it usually seems like it balances out. You know, most underquilt setups are actually going to be a little bit lighter weight, I think, than a thick inflatable air pad, which is what a lot of people are sleeping on the ground. So
yeah, so it could be a wash as far as weight, or even maybe a little bit better if you're used to bringing a pad.
Yeah, because, I think so.
Yeah, I found that you don't even really need the pad if you're using an adequate underquilt. You really don't need the pad for comfort. Each individual has to test for themselves and decide what they like, but I find that, you know, most of the people that I've talked with about it tend to find that the hammock's very comfortable without any pad, unlike the ground. You know, the older you get, the worse it is on the ground, but in a hammock, it's actually comfortable without a pad. And, you know, I think that's kind of demonstrated with what you alluded to earlier with the backyard hammocks. You know, you don't see a lot of people dragging a mattress and putting it in their hammock. They're considered to be an item of comfort already as they are.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think with a hammock, you just have more options as far as bottom insulation goes. I mean, if you're sleeping on the ground, you've either got to have an air mattress or a foam pad, you know, and it works the same way in the hammock. Either of those can work in a hammock, but you also have the option of going without a pad altogether and using an underquilt. And actually, most people use underquilts just because they find, you know, it's more comfortable. You know, you're basically not feeling anything under you. It's like laying in an empty hammock compared to, you know, laying on some kind of a pad,
right?
You know, kind of, people think that degrades, a lot of people feel like that degrades the comfort slightly. So, but I mean, you know, underquilts are more expensive, so a lot of people start with pads. Some people are perfectly happy with them and stick with that. As far as bottom insulation goes, you can use any three of those types of bottom insulation and, you know, it'll be plenty warm provided that bottom insulation is adequately rated for the temperature. I mean, you're not going to use a, you know, an air mattress rated to 40 degrees in the dead of winter, you know, same
right.
thing with an underquilt. You don't want to use an underquilt rated for summer temps in the wintertime. But as long as you pick, you know, appropriately rated thickness underquilt pad, air pad, you know, you're going to be fine using any of those three options.
Yeah, and I find that most of these top quilts and underquilts, the majority of them, let's say, are going to be down top quilts and underquilts. There are some synthetics, but I think most people opt for the compressibility and the warmth and the lightweight of using down. and the underquilts are essentially just attached to the bottom of the hammock, and there's trapped air there. The down's not being compressed hardly at all from hanging under there. And so these come in different sizes. Essentially, people make them. I know you've got shoulder to knee size. And so why don't you talk a little bit about what somebody can do by using a lighter weight shoulder to knee version underquilt and how they can, you know, make up for the potential for being cold in their legs.
Yeah, definitely. And you also brought up a good point. I didn't specify that, you know, an underquilt is suspended underneath the hammock on the outside where it can't be compressed by your body weight. And, you know, it's attached with a suspension, you know, most of the time incorporating some kind of a shock cord to suspend it and hold it tight to the bottom of the hammock. But yeah, you know, a lot, lately people have, you know, kind of been trending towards partial length underquilts. And, you know, it's kind of the same idea, you know, that you'd find, you know, somebody using a three-quarter length armrest, you know. Basically, you know, they're going to put their feet on the pack and they're just trying to save some weight and some bulk. And that's the same idea here. You know, people find that their legs really don't need quite as much insulation, especially their lower legs don't need quite as much insulation as their torso does. I mean, that's where the main portion of your body heat is located, and that's really what you want to keep warm. So, you know, a lot of people find that, you know, in warmer weather, they don't need anything under their lower legs at all, other than, you know, their legs are in the foot box of a sleeping bag or a top quilt, obviously, and that's enough. And then as it starts to get a little cooler, people a lot of times will put a piece of foam padding, like, you know, a quarter inch closed cell foam, something like that, under their legs. A lot of people, whether they're carrying a full length underquilt or not, are going to carry a piece of foam to use as a sit pad so that they don't have to sit on wet ground or whatever, you know. So if you're carrying it anyways, you might as well incorporate it into your bottom insulation, and that kind of allows you to cut a little bit of weight and bulk from your pack. So, yeah, you know, quarter inch closed cell foam, maybe in the wintertime you might need 3/8 or a half an inch, but it's definitely becoming a popular way to save weight. Some people actually even use, you know, their empty pack or whatever. The pack frame, a lot of people have closed cell foam in their pack frame, so they'll take that out and use that. You know, it's all about multi-use, you know, using stuff you're already carrying anyway for warmth.
Yeah, I know climbers that throw their rope underneath their legs, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
At night. So, yeah, just pretty much anything that you're already carrying, you can use. Well, let's talk a little bit about hammock setup and use. I find hammock setup to be very easy, very straightforward. Some of this may be confusing to some beginners, but it really is certainly easier than some of the tents that I've pitched in the past. Would you walk me through the basic setup of a typical hammock and tarp setup, starting with site selection?
Yeah, sure. Basically, you're looking for trees that are anywhere from 12 to 20 feet apart. 13 to 15 feet is probably going to be ideal. Basically, the farther apart your trees are, the higher up on the tree you're going to have to attach that suspension. So at some point, it becomes kind of counterproductive to hang from really far trees because you end up having to climb the tree. But you need something, you know, usually at least 12 feet just because you got to fit your tarp between the trees as well, and the tarp's generally a couple feet longer than the hammock. So 12 to 15 feet is about right. You know, you can usually reach up plenty high on the tree to make that attachment point. And that's really all you need, two trees, which is a good thing. And basically you're going to run your suspension, whatever type of suspension that is, you know, you're going to run it at generally like a 25 to 30 degree angle. So you're not really pulling this thing that tight. You know, I think between 2 and 3 o'clock on a clock is 25 to 30 degrees. So it's running uphill at a good angle. And, you know, a lot of people want to hang their hammock with a good bit of sag. And that kind of goes back to what I was talking about before about hanging in the hammock with plenty of sag and then laying diagonally. But, you know, it really depends on what suspension you have. You know, like adjustable webbing suspensions are, you know, a little easier to set up, no knots to tie. Maybe depending on what suspension you have, you got to make some adjustments. I like to kind of step back and take a look at the big picture. You know, a lot of people like to have the foot end of the hammock, you know, 6 or 8 inches higher than the head end just because they find that to be more comfortable. So that's kind of something you have to you know, incorporate into your setup. But it's pretty easy, you know, just you're attaching one end to one tree and one end to the other. What can I say?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is very simple. I know both of us like to make sure that we check above in the trees and make sure there's not any big
good point
things that are going to come
good
falling
point
down, you know.
definitely. I've more than once I've gotten out of the hammock in the morning and looked up and thought, man, maybe I shouldn't have camped here last night. It's a good thing the wind didn't blow. But yeah, you definitely want to check around, not necessarily even just the trees you're hanging from. You know, the trees you're hanging from might have dead branches or whatever that could fall straight down in your hammock, but you want to look around. You know, you could conceivably be hit by another tree that's 50, 100 feet away that's just really tall and leaning in your direction, you know, so you kind of want to check out the general area and make sure that any dead trees are around or at least leaning in the other direction, you know.
Yeah, and everybody should know that this isn't just about hammocks. This is about whatever you use out there, tarp, tent, hammock, doesn't matter. It can happen to any of those setups.
Yeah, so that's actually a good reason that, you know, it's probably better to set up before the sun goes down, just because you can kind of see what's going on a little better.
Yeah, good point. So now that it's set up, what's a good approach to getting in, finding that sweet spot for maximum comfort? I know you mentioned a little bit about the diagonal lay, but maybe you can go into that a little bit more. And also say a little bit of something. I think some people tend to think that a hammock's going to be swaying all the time or tipping, have the tendency to tip over like those backyard versions do, but these don't. If you can go into that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about a hammock that feels real tippy, it's hard, you know, feels like you're going to flip out the backside as you sit down in it. Those are generally the hammocks that have the big long spreader bars at the ends and they're pulled really tight. Basically what it does is it just raises the center of gravity of the hammock. So a camping hammock doesn't have spreader bars at the end like that, and you're actually sitting down inside of it. So it's really unlikely for that to happen. I mean, most people, after they've sat in one of these things two times, they feel like an expert and aren't worried about it anymore because the style of hammock isn't conducive to, you know, flipping out the back of the thing.
Yeah, I find it to be extremely secure and stable. I haven't had any problems at all with that.
You know, you get in and really, you know, like I say, you know, with certain, and it kind of depends on the style of hammock you're using, but a lot, like I said, a lot of hammocks kind of are meant to be laid on the hard diagonal in order to kind of get flat. But really, you know, it's just kind of a personal preference thing, and it's just something you kind of have to try different positions and see what works best for you, you know. You end up kind of wiggling around a little bit to find that sweet spot. And eventually it becomes second nature so that it takes about 2 seconds and you're in it, you know. Some people in the beginning have a problem finding it, but with just a little time, it becomes pretty much second nature.
Yeah, it's kind of like jumping in a bed and fluffing your pillow, or maybe you're at a hotel or something like that, and you're just getting in, you're just trying to get comfortable. It pretty much comes to you naturally about how to position yourself for maximum comfort, so it's quite the same there. And since we mentioned pillow, what do you think about pillow use in a hammock?
Well, a lot of people like a pillow. I mean, generally speaking, I think everybody's going to use a really, really minimal pillow just because in a lot of hammocks, your upper body is just slightly elevated to begin with. But, you know, a lot of people like a little pillow just to kind of stabilize their head. I mean, I find if I don't have anything, my head will, you know, fall one way or the other, you know. So I'll use one of those U-shaped travel pillows a lot of times. And that's also important in the wintertime, you know. I like to have a warm, you know, a warm pillow just to kind of insulate, give me some bottom insulation on the back of my head and my neck, you know. I mean, I generally wear a warm hat, too, in that situation. But a small pillow is pretty common for a lot of people. And I actually also, speaking of that, I actually also like to, you know, take a stuff sack and put my rain gear or, you know, my jacket or some spare clothes or something in there. And I'll put that under my knees, and I get an incredible amount of comfort from that. Just something as small as that you'd never think to do in bed, but it really enhances the whole situation for me. So.
And people can lay on their side, on their back.
Yeah, definitely. You can lay on your side. You can lay in the fetal position. You know, but it does, you know, a lot of times it turns out that people end up sleeping on their backs quite a bit in a hammock. You know, even if, I mean, I hear people tell me all the time, like, I never sleep on my back, you know, but when I get in the hammock, that's, you know, the position that I'm in 90% of the time, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it just goes to show that, you know, a hammock is conducive to back sleeping, whereas a bed may not be.
Yeah, that's definitely been my experience, and I would have never guessed that I would ever feel so comfortable on my back because I spend so much time sleeping in a bed that I don't sleep on my back. That, you know, it just makes me feel like I never will at any time, but when I get in a hammock, I can sleep on my back very easily, and like you said, 90% of the time, that's right where I'm at, and I'm comfortable. I don't feel that need to toss and turn all the time.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel the same way. Like, I'll oftentimes sleep straight through the night and wake up and think, you know, what happened to the night? You know, it's morning already. But, you know, a lot of people also like to sleep kind of like half on their side, half on their back. It's kind of a weird position, but in the hammock it works out really well that way. But really, you know, people just need to try different things, move around a lot, and figure out what positions they find comfortable. You know, it actually becomes pretty natural pretty quick.
What do you recommend for first-timers who are interested in exploring hammock camping? When I was young, I would take a bed sheet or a tarp or something and bundle and tie the ends and then tie it up between a couple of trees to make a quick hammock. Of course, I was a lot lighter and smaller then, and don't advocate people just grabbing any old thing and doing that. But, you know, what's a good approach for somebody that wants to get into this?
Well, you know, the best thing is to try them out. So if you know, you know, friends or, you know, hiking partners or whoever that have hammocks, the best thing you can really do is try out some different setups. A lot of companies offer, you know, like a satisfaction guarantee where, you know, you can buy the thing and try it out. And if you don't like it, if it's not for you, you can return it and get your money back. A lot of people will make a hammock, though. You know, you can go, and as long as you're using some quality fabric that, you know, you're not going to tear, you know, I wouldn't suggest using any cotton or anything like that, but you can take a piece of fabric 10 feet long and 5 feet wide and tie an overhand knot in the ends of it, and you can put a lark's head or a girth hitch around that knot, and there you go. You know, it's a great tester hammock just to kind of feel the waters and find out if it's something that you want to get into.
Definitely, very cool.
You know, you've probably spent less than $10 on the whole thing.
With regard to maintenance and care, it's really similar to the care of a tent. You know, store it dry. If you must wash it, use a gentle sports-type wash in the tub or a non-agitator-type washing machine. Any other tips come to mind about maintenance and care?
You know, not that I can think of. I think you just said it all right there. You know, just make sure your gear's dry before you pack it away for the long term. You know, as for the hammock, it's not like a piece of, you know, down gear where you have to store it and compress. I mean, you can store your hammock in the normal stuff sack. As long as it's dry, it's going to be fine. Yeah, like you said, if you do need to wash it, you just want to be careful. You don't want to stick it in a washing machine with an agitator. You can use a front loader, or you can wash it by hand. And I'd also be really careful with a dryer. You know, if you dried it in a dryer, you'd want to use a really low setting. You know, with something like a hammock, it's made of lightweight materials. It's going to air dry on its own in an hour anyway. So you might as well just hang it up.
Yeah, good advice. Yeah, and when you're storing this thing, make sure you take everything out of it. You know, same with tents, you know, just so you don't have anything that's going to protrude into the netting or...
Definitely, and that's also a good point. When you're using the thing, make sure you don't have anything sharp in your back pockets. I got in a bad habit of keeping my tent stakes in my back pocket while I was setting up my tarp. And, you know, then I got in the hammock one time and pulled myself downhill an inch or two just to get situated and heard the thing tear. Luckily, it didn't drop me on the ground, but it put a good-sized tear in the bottom of the hammock where the tent stake grabbed and poked right through there. So definitely want to make sure you don't have anything sharp in your pockets.
Definitely. Good tip. And you being a hammock manufacturer, that came in handy when you do things like that. So while I have you here, Brandon, would you give a brief overview of your company's hammock products?
Yeah, I've got a couple different models of hammock. I've got what I call the Traveler hammock, which is just a plain and simple fabric no-net hammock. And you can get a separate mosquito net that goes with that to transform it into a mosquito hammock. And I also have the Blackbird hammock, which is an integrated mosquito hammock. It's got a zippered entrance, mosquito canopy. It's got a nice little storage shelf about 2 square feet. And size where you can put quite a bit of stuff in there. You know, that's actually kind of lacking in a lot of hammocks. So it's kind of a unique feature that people seem to like. And all those hammocks are available in either double or single layer, depending on if you plan to use a pad or, you know, want that extra versatility. And they're available in a couple different fabric weights, depending on the weight of the user. And I also have 5 models of tarps, 3 different sizes, basically. 2 of those sizes are available in ultralight Spin-UL, which is basically a ultralight spinnaker fabric. And then got 3 sizes available in fill nylon. And all those tarp sizes come with an option to buy a door kit, which basically the doors cover the ends, the openings at the end of the A-frame. So it gives you full four-walled coverage. Then I have few models of top quilts and a couple models of underquilts.
Wonderful. And those doors, again, they're detachable off of the hammock, so you can take them
with
you early
morning. That's right. They are. Exactly. You can leave them at home in the summertime. You can take them with you and leave them in the pack if it's not too windy. If you need them, pull them out and use them. Good point. Yeah, and then with the underquilts, I've got the Yeti underquilts. I've got a three-season and a winter. And then with the top quilts, the Mamba top quilts, I also have a three-season and a winter version as well.
One thing I've noticed about all your gear is it's very lightweight, and people have some choices about, you know, depending on how much fabric they want in terms of double or single layers, you know, the weight can be, you know, a little bit more, or they can get really light with it.
Yeah, definitely. The hammocks go from single layer 1.1 ounce ripstop all the way up to double layer 1.7 ounce nylon. So there's quite a range there for somebody who's wanting, you know, a little bit of extra fabric for durability, or somebody that's wanting to go, you know, lean in towards the lighter weighted side of things. Definitely have both options.
Very nice. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we go?
No, I don't think so. Just thanks for thinking about me and giving me the opportunity to talk to you today.
Yeah, thank you very much for doing it. Thanks for talking about hammocks with me, and I'll be sure to put a link to your website on the Practical Backpacking Podcast site.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Take care, Brandon.
Yeah, you too, Brandon.
Bye. Thank you for listening. The Practical Backpacking Podcast is financially supported by its host and a few kind listeners. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to show your support, please visit practicalbackpacking.com to donate and access other Practical Backpacking services. This podcast is copyright 2010 by Practical Backpacking. All rights reserved.